John chapter 10. Just want to preach a third and last message on shepherd sheep and sheepfolds. You know, we've already seen concerning the greatness of Christ being the great shepherd. We've seen something of the character, the nature, the needs of the sheep, and of even the necessity of the sheepfold. All of these are vital things for us to learn concerning shepherd, sheep, and sheepfolds. It's such a vast spectrum of teaching in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that we must learn and we must understand. You see, if you don't know, understand what the Bible teaches about the church, you will not appreciate the gathering of God's people together. You won't appreciate that. You won't hold a high esteem upon it. If you don't realize the reality and the breadth and the greatness of Christ's ministry as a good shepherd, your heart will not rise up with faith knowing He is my shepherd. He has redeemed me. I shall not want. That's why we must understand and must be taught and must believe these things, that faith might rise up in our hearts. You know, you can see someone who either doesn't understand what the Bible teaches about the church, the house of God, the sheepfold, or else are disobedient to it purely by their actions. They either show their utter ignorance or their utter disobedience by their attitude. It reveals a lot about them. But we haven't dealt with those things already. We just want to just look a bit closer, more specifically, on the shepherds, not the shepherd. Because there is only one shepherd, only one. The Bible says, Old Testament, New Testament, there shall be only one shepherd. But we want to look a bit at the shepherds. Not only important to know about the church, but also about leadership, the shepherds that God puts over His work. We must understand the purpose of leadership, why God gives them, how God gives them, the purpose, their function in the midst, the sheep's attitude towards the shepherd, and the shepherd's attitude towards the sheep. Let's read together John chapter 10, and then we're going to read in Acts chapter 20. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfold. Say it with me. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfold. One more time. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfold. Good to carry it in your mind. John chapter 10, reading from verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, thank God. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. And the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling. See, a man is known by his character, isn't that right? By his actions, by his character. How do you know a hireling? By his actions. How do you know a good shepherd? By his actions. The hireling flees, the good shepherd lays down his life. Simple as that, you can tell. You can tell a true shepherd from a false shepherd. You can tell a true shepherd that's pouring out his life from one who's simply a paid preacher. And that's what these scriptures are saying. This is Christ teaching us. He says, verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. That's proves he doesn't care for the sheep. If he really cared for the sheep, he wouldn't flee. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, are not of this organized, established building and system that we meet in. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold or one gathering of the sheep and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sins. And then Acts chapter 20, and this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. When he's near Ephesus, he can't go there. He's passing by. He calls them to come out to meet him. And this is one church in one city with many elders. And he calls them out to meet with them. And just reading this, what he says in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves center in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, in the light of this, because of this, therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Father, we just thank you again for your word, Father, to nourish us, strengthen us, educate us, inform us, to strengthen us, to edify us, Lord God, to make us to function as a body. Lord God, you said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Will you illuminate our minds? Will you strengthen us, Lord God, that this might be a church, Lord God, that is delivered from every wolf, Lord God, from every contentious person, Lord God, from every harlot. Lord God, I pray that you preserve this work, that you'd raise up many shepherds, and even out of the midst, Lord God, that would go forth even with a care and a burden, a love and a desire to pour out their life on behalf of your sheep. In Jesus' name, we love you this morning, and we're so glad for the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfold. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfold. This is the theme of Scripture. This is what we've been brought into. And this is what we give our life to for as long as we breathe breath. Having been born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb, we have been made sheep by Jesus Christ. Now, we were lost sheep, but when we're born again, we're saved sheep. Oh, yes, that old nature is still there. Not wondering. Deceptive nature. They'll take you out into the highways and the byways. They'll stray out in front of a car. They'll cause you to wander away from the shepherd, the safety of the sheepfold, and from good grazing. You see, there is an old nature within the heart of man that's destructive to the good of the sheepfold, that doesn't care less about good shepherding. But God instructs us in the Bible, concerning shepherds, we all must have a right attitude towards the shepherds God raises up. We must understand that God does raise up shepherds. All of us are not shepherds. All of us will not mature to shepherds. You could be the most mature person in this room, the most spiritual, the most knowledgeable, but yet God has not called you to shepherd sheep. God hasn't called you to it. God divinely chooses by his own will to gift men to be shepherds. Now, when God wanted to birth a nation, the nation of Israel, that would be set apart for his use alone, when he decided he was going to birth that nation, he chose a shepherd called Abraham. When he was going to establish 12 separate tribes that would be raised up in his hand, he chose a shepherd called Jacob to preserve his people and to take them down into Egypt and protect them through those generations. What did he do again? He chose a shepherd called Joseph. When it came to a time when Egypt was bringing a bondage on his people, working them hard and becoming a force to destroy his people, what did God do? God raised up a shepherd to walk through that wilderness, to knock on the door of Pharaoh, the greatest power of that generation, a shepherd. God chose a little shepherd to simply come out of that wilderness to say, let my people go. You see, God has always chosen shepherds to bring goodness, blessing, and to bring forth the purpose of God for His people as sheep. You see, God looks on His people as my sheep. They are for me to care for. And because I love them, I'll always raise up shepherds to help them, deliver them, and to care for them. So we see that shepherd Moses shook the very gates of hell and led the people out, led them out. They didn't have to follow. But as he walked out of that nation, he had shook that thing by the power of God to rule over the nation. God chose for kingly authority. Who did he choose? To represent his heart, to show the greatness of his kingship. He chose a little shepherd by the name of David. You see, God has always chosen shepherds for the good of his people. There is something about the heart of a shepherd, a man who's really been, I'm talking about the natural working of a shepherd. I'm talking about a man that sat up all night. I tell you, I've got cousins down my back fields. They, during lambing season, they stay up all night. Every new year, what you used to hear down our back fields, the doors are shut, the television is on, there's all sorts of noise. All of a sudden, 1 mile away, this is true, I can hear my cousin shouting. I won't tell you all she said, she wasn't saved or sanctified, but all I hear is that voice resounding. It's New Year's Day again. The hunt is on. The hunters on their horses with their hounds are crossing my cousin's field. Well, it's going to scare the ewes. It's going to scare the sheep. And she's cursing, shouting, and single-handedly chasing them off her fields. Forget why I was saying that now. Now, I tell you, you've got someone who cares about the flock there. She rose up to drive off any enemy, any hassle, any fear, or any concern. You see, God does raise up shepherds over his sheepfold. And we've got to see this morning. In this short time, we've got to see God gives shepherds for the good of his people. God has a purpose in it. If you don't understand what a shepherd is, or true shepherding, you're going to get yourself in an awful lot of trouble. If you think you know everything, and that you can directly receive everything from God, and you don't need human vessels for God to work through, you will get yourself in an awful lot of trouble. You see, God frequently trained his best workers, his most gifted men and women, in the sheepfold. That's where he found them. Where did he find Moses? In the sheepfold. Now you'll notice with most of them, with Jacob, with Moses, with David, none of them, it wasn't their sheepfold. Not with any of them. It was their father's sheepfold. It was their father-in-law's sheepfold. It was their uncle's sheepfold. But yet their faithful shepherds, talking about a natural, practical shepherding of the sheep. That was it. My cousin, my dad's cousin, she'd stay up all night. You and those sheep. I tell you, that season, that means a pouring out of your life. You're going to stay up watching for the beginning of birth. That sheep can't give birth by itself. You've got to watch it. It could die. That little lamb could die. Many things can happen. So you've got to keep the light on. You're there. You're going to miss out on an awful lot of sleep. You're going to be watching in the middle of darkness, in the midst of the night, just watching over those sheep to make sure everything is okay. You see, God trains people in that. And he trained Moses there. There's Moses 40 years at the backside of the wilderness. Who wants to live there? Well, God's going to prepare a vessel that's going to change the order of everything and lead a whole nation out of Egypt. Where did he find him? In his father-in-law's sheepfold. You see, if you neglect the sheepfold, God will not prepare you. You'll be good for nothing. God will never fulfill his will for your life. If you don't function in the sheepfold, if you don't live in the sheepfold, if you don't learn the lessons of God in this church, you'll never learn anything. If God can't make you faithful in the house of God, I tell you, you're going to get run over on one of these roads one of these times. Just cars zooming along. You think you know everything. I can go where I want. I can eat whatever I want. No, you're colorblind. You don't know what to eat. You need someone to lead you into the truth of God's word. You see, God had Moses, and he prepared him in that sheepfold. After 40 years, do you know what the sheepfold done for him? When he entered into that sheepfold first time, he was educated. He was sophisticated. He was eloquent. He had all power, all knowledge, and the best of education. God says, I'm going to have to train this man because none of that means anything in my kingdom or in my church. I'm going to break that man in the sheepfold. See, he's a hard man. He's an angry man. He sees an Egyptian trying to attack one of those poor Hebrews. What does he do? He lifts the fist and he kills that Egyptian and then buries him in the sand. But you know, after that 40 years, the Bible says he was the meekest man in all the earth. Where did he learn that? In the sheepfold. 40 years. Do you know what? A lot of you are going to have a lot of long lessons along this way in this sheepfold. I tell you, it's not over in a year. In 2 years, you're not ready to change the world. There's going to be a long, faithful walk in this sheepfold or wherever God would have you before you're ready to do anything. If that sounds wearying, what did Moses feel like? 40 long years. And do you know what? At the end of it, God had made him a meek man, a broken man, a humble man. And God comes to him and says, now you're ready. He says, not me. I cannot speak. Not me. I'm scared. Not me. What am I meant to do? I don't have anything now. No reputation. That'll go. I tell you, no power, no eloquence. You see, Moses had a right attitude working with those sheep. God had stripped them from everything. But now, here stands a man that God has prepared in a small sheepfold. And it's not his sheepfold, it's his father's. You see, no sheepfold belongs to any shepherd. It hasn't in scripture, it doesn't. I tell you, Christ alone is the shepherd. But he doesn't trust his sheep to shepherds. He always does, always has done, does today. Still does in Limerick. The very same way, and trusts them. But half of it's for the preparation of the shepherd as well. God uses that. What about King David? Young David, the youngest son of the family. Do you know when they said Samuel comes to the family, his father says, I'm here to anoint the next king of Israel. Do you know what David's father done? He brought out the 7 brothers. Never went for David. Didn't even think about David. Didn't consider David. He's a young, ruddy-faced young boy. God wouldn't have any purpose for him. He is only a shepherd boy. He's good in the sheepfold. You know, even his father couldn't discern. Out there in that hillside, God is getting himself a shepherd that's going to rule the nation and lead the nation into blessing. You see, his own father didn't know it. David didn't know it. The devil didn't know it. Do you know that's why God uses the sheepfold? Because the devil doesn't know what he's doing. God just hides a vessel away in some small, obscure hillside or wilderness or back of the woods place, some little sheepfold. The devil doesn't know what's in that sheepfold. The devil doesn't know all the principles are in that sheepfold to prepare a vessel that'll destroy his kingdom. That's what happened with young David. Here comes the ruddy little boy. And the Spirit of God says, this is him. This is the next king of Israel. God's going to prepare him. Do you remember when Goliath and all the armies there, King Saul's there. He's a great warrior. A great man of stature. Everyone says, he's a king. He's got what it takes. He's eloquent. He's strong. He's mighty. He's great to look upon. He's a warrior. This is the man to lead us to blessing. This is the man we need in the church. This is the sort of preacher that we need that'll impress the multitudes. This is the sort of man for this generation. They still do it in the church, don't they? Turn on your Google box. You watch all the heretics of the day and you stand with your mouth open. Isn't that good? I tell you, away with Saul religion. Do you know what? Saul's all talk. No power, no reality. Saul wasn't trained in the sheepfold. Saul never learned the principles of the sheepfold. You see, if you don't learn to submit, you'll never be an authority. Never, never, never. It doesn't happen. There was a man who used to carry the Baxter Smith Wigglesworth. He came to our church in Scotland once, and he stood up. His opening line was, if you don't get your unders, you can't get your overs. Everybody just looked at him. He said, if you don't get your unders, you can't get your overs. He said a third time, if you don't get your unders, you don't get your overs. And what he went on to preach then, if you don't submit, you'll never be an authority. God will not give authority, real authority, to those who don't know true submission. But to those who submit themselves under God, even in your home to your parents, I tell you, when all those principles come to bear, God can entrust you with real authority. Our young shepherd boy David, there he is. He goes back. It says, once he left Samuel, he went back to the sheep again. And then King Saul says, I hear he's a good musician, can play that violin pretty good, that stringed harp. Bring him in here to get rid of my demons. Here's the great leader, the anointed of God, and he needs a little boy to play an instrument, a little shepherd boy to soothe his tormented soul. I tell you, that man was not prepared in the sheepfold, was he? He had it all, the eloquence, the power, but he hadn't learnt the lessons of the sheepfold. He was utterly ignorant of these things, but it took a little shepherd boy who'd cared for the sheep, who'd healed their sicknesses, who'd poured in the oil, who'd carried them when they needed carried, who'd dragged them out of the hedge and protected them from their enemies. That's the sort of man God needed, not a Saul. Not a man like that with an inflated pride. He'll destroy and wreck the nation and the church. But give us a little shepherd boy who's learnt the lessons in that sheepfold with the sheep. A lot of lessons to be learned from sheep. Can I just learn? There's going to come a heart of compassion. See, they're helpless. There's going to come a love, a desire, a laying down of life. You cannot shepherd if you don't lay down your life. It's impossible. This is the fundamental principle of shepherding. You will have to lay down your life and be willing to die for those sheep. What, those silly sheep? Yes, Moses, you're going to learn it. Yes, David, you're going to learn it. Those sheep, you're going to so love them and be so compassionate for their ignorance, their weakness, their failure, their shortcomings, that you'd be willing to die for them, even a handful of them. That's the sort of heart that God puts in a shepherd, and he put in King David. Do you remember then when Goliath is out there and David goes to feed his brother and takes some bread for them? And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And say, shut up. You're filled with pride. Go back to your sheep. Just you stay with your sheep. You see, they don't know what they're dealing with here. Here is someone who is simply in secret and quietness being prepared in the sheepfold. Here is God's weapon. A shepherd, God's weapon to change the nation, came out of a small sheepfold. Who would have imagined it? Who could have thought, where are we going to get a mighty warrior to bring down Goliath? In a wee sheepfold over in that hillside. You'll hear the music. You'll hear the singing. You'll see him just there contented on the hillside. That's the answer to the nation's problem. It was a shepherd, a little shepherd boy. Who could have possibly imagined it, saints of God? Who could have possibly imagined it? And we know that he then gets brought in before Saul because he says, I'll deal with Goliath. You want someone to deal with him? I'll deal with him. That wasn't stupidness, that was faith. He knew what he was talking about. He'd been tried and tested. And he starts to tell Saul, started to preach him. Said, see those that little flock? Do you know when a wolf came, I took my sling and I killed it. And see, when a lion came roaring against them, I took my sling and I killed it and I rent it asunder. That's what I did because I love those sheep and I'll die for those sheep. How much more for a nation? You see, God had prepared a heart within him that cared about the nation, that cared about the flock of God, that would die for them and thought it no strange thing when he's seen an enemy. How dare that enemy come against this flock? How dare that enemy mock the sheep of God? How dare the devil condemn you? How dare the devil lie to you? How dare the devil tempt you and deceive you? Try to wreck your marriage. Try to wreck your walk with God. I tell you, I have an indignation this morning. I do care about you this morning. That there is a tempter, a wolf, a lion, and he comes trying to wreck your whole mind. He plays games with your mind. He draws away your emotions and your affections. I tell you, there is a David that will rise up and say, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine? I will fight a battle for others. I will pour out my life. I do care. I do care. You see, God had that. And we know that Saul suggested him, said, here, put my armor on. Here, put the latest ministry on. Here's the latest scheme of church growth, church order, church leadership. Here it is. And you know, he put it all on. He could hardly walk with Saul's armor. And he says, I haven't tried this. I have not proved it. You know what? I'm going to stick with the blood. I'm going to stick with the preaching of the cross. I'm going to stick with prayer. I'm going to stick with the simple things. We don't need it, saints of God. And David cast all that aside. He went down into the brook, picked himself 5 stones. 5 times in chapter 10 of John it says, concern the shepherd, he lays his life down. 5 times. Picks 5 stones. All it took was one. And he goes out against Goliath. The rest is history. He killed him. But you know when he's preaching to Saul, he says, look, I protected those sheep. This is no different. God prepared him in the sheepfold. God will prepare you in this sheepfold. You've got to have faith that whatever you need is in this. I know it's not perfect. I know the walls are a bit rough. Oh yes, there's no roof on top of that sheepfold. It's open to the elements. But I tell you, it's going to do the job God ordained it to. If you look all over the world, sheepfolds are just the same. 4 brick walls, a doorway. We saw one. Where was it? A locker. Exactly the same as everywhere else we've been. We go to different countries, different nations. A sheepfold looks like a sheepfold. The walls are about this high, that entrance. And you go, that's a sheepfold. That just looks like a sheepfold in other countries. It's there. It's simple. It's very simple. It's not technical. It's just to keep you secure at night time in the darkness from the enemy. It does all its... Do you know what? This church will do all it needs to do. If you have ears to hear, if you realize we don't need to be super technical, we don't need to be on the cutting edge of everything. I tell you, we are a sheepfold, and we have shepherds, and we are sheep just like the church has always been. And I tell you, out of this church, God can prepare every vessel in this room and use you for His glory and His praise and His honor. When you go to the New Testament, you read of Stephen and Philip, 7 young men. Notice they didn't choose women. Do you know why? It was a dispute amongst women. So he says, don't you choose 7 women as deaconesses for this. You choose 7 young men. And you put them in there. They'll be bickering with those women. They're arguing this and they're arguing this. You put 7 men in there to sort that thing out. What to feed them? Bread, yeah, you need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God. Biblical principles. You just don't do anything in the sheepfold. But here, it's the sheepfold in Jerusalem. And what do you have? You've got 7 deacons. They're learning. Philip and Stephen are learning the principles of the sheepfold. We don't want murmuring. We don't want fighting. We want to keep the unity of the brethren. They're just handing out the bread. Here, dear. Just you keep your mouth shut. You take a big portion. You need it. I can imagine the thoughts going through their mind. But you know what? They're learning the principles of that sheepfold. And God has proven them. These are wise men. It said he looked for wise men. They're faithful men. They were men filled with the Spirit. How did they know? They said, choose you out amongst all the people. 7 men filled with the Spirit of God. That means it can be seen. That means there's fruit to it. Don't you choose the backbiter. Don't you choose someone who's only here half the time. You choose 7 faithful men to hand out that bread. That's what you do. See, they're being prepared. Where do we see Stephen next? We see him shaking all of Jerusalem, meeting all the religious system, all the arguers, all the scribes, all the intellectuals, even Saul before he became Paul. And he met them face to face and he shook them. They got so angry because they couldn't answer him. Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get this power in the pulpit? Where did he get this knowledge of the history of Israel? He just lived in the sheepfold. And God prepared him for his martyrdom. He laid down his life. What about Philip? God sends him out as one of the greatest evangelists in the first century. Preaching. Converted all of Samaria. He's out there on the road with the little eunuch. Meets him. Leads him to the Lord. Where did God prepare you, Philip? Year after year. Year after year, maybe 7 years, just in that church, day in, day out, faithful in the meetings, faithful in the house of God, faithfully giving, faithfully praying, faithfully living my life, faithfully listening to the word of God. That's what I was simply doing. But it was, it was in the midst of the sheepfold. Saints, God will prepare you if you're wise. God will prepare you in this place. I wish I was a lot more eloquent, tough, This is where it's at. But I will give you the word of God. I'll point you to Jesus Christ. I'll warn you of what's to come. I tell you, I'll do all that I know to do. But you need to do all that you need to do. I tell you, as we work together faithfully, God will work in our midst. Now Jesus says in Mark chapter 6 and 34, and it says, and when he came out, he saw much people, thousands had gathered. And it says that he was moved with compassion towards them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now here he is, he sees multitudes come out of Jerusalem, out of the other cities. And that heart of compassion, see, he's a shepherd, isn't he? Isn't he the great shepherd, the good shepherd? And he sees them scattered. There's no direction. There's no gathering of the saints of God. And his heart is moved with deep compassion. So what does he do? He teaches them. Teaches them the word of God. Do you know straight after this, what else he does? He says, the labors are few, but the harvest is great. And he says, pray that the labors be raised up. You see, shepherds are labors. They're labors who have gone out into the scattered multitudes because there's no shepherds. That's what Christ was saying. Look at the great multitudes. They need shepherds. They need labors raised up. Directly after that, he separated 12 men and called them apostles. This was his answer. He said, look at them scattered. They're like sheep without a shepherd, all going around, baa, 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 walking down every country road. Nobody leading them, guiding them, directing them, teaching them, guarding them. It wasn't there. And he says, oh, pray that labors are raised up. Saints, we need it in this island of Ireland. Ireland needs shepherds across this nation. Every town, every city. Pray that in the prayer meeting. Get a hold of God. Say, give shepherds to this nation. Send out labors. Send many shepherds into this nation. One more time. Again at the, just before Christ's death. Says in Matthew 26:31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all of ye, talking to his disciples, his closest followers, all of ye should be offended of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. So here's Christ the night before he's taken. And he says, look, this is a prophecy about me. The shepherd's going to be smitten and the sheep will scatter. That's why Satan aims his target at the shepherd. That's why he'll attack the shepherd. If he can smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Many churches have scattered. Many groups of believers have scattered when the shepherd has been smitten by whatever circumstance happens. We cannot be ignorant of the devices of Satan. You see, it was an hour of darkness. It was an evil hour when Satan was coming to smite the shepherd. But thank God on the third day, he was raised up by the power of the Father once again. But he's laying in a principle. He says, you 12 are going to scatter. Oh, I know you've got all your wisdom. Oh, I know you argue about who's the greatest. I know you, Peter, you say, I'll never deny you, Master. I'll die for you. Oh, I know you've got a lot of resolve. I know all of that. But you know what? Just let the shepherd be smitten and we'll see where your knowledge are. All of you will be scattered. Every one of you. And Peter will follow afar off, ashamed of being identified. And he'll sit down and warm his hands at the fire of the world. This is Christ's greatest disciple. Why? Because they didn't have a shepherd. The shepherd was smitten. And they got scattered. All of them started doing their own thing. Do you know, sheep ever start doing their own thing? And all saying, well, I think this. And, bah, I think this. And, well, I think this. And they all scatter to their own direction. That's why God gives a shepherd to stop that scattering. And to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't go out there in that mess and confusion. Don't listen to that. Don't read that book. I tell you, that's a shepherd's heart to stop you getting confused. You'll all go off in 20 different directions. All following the, well, I think, well, you're wrong. If the word of God says you're wrong. That's how simple it is. You see, in the New Testament church, we see that God grants elders, bishops, overseers, and pastors. We think a bishop is a man with a funny hat on and a big long gown and a big stick. You see, that's got into our minds. We think a shepherd is a man with a shirt and tie. We have all these ideas. Overseer, bishop, elders, pastors. Well, forget all of that. All they are shepherds. And that's what it simply means. There's three things in the New Testament elders were given. Every leader in the local church in the New Testament was an elder. Didn't matter if they're a teacher, a prophet, or a pastor. All of them were elders. That is the position of leadership in the local church. But any of those men could be gifted as a pastor, a teacher, or a prophet according to the grace of God. All were elders, but many could be given the gift of pastor. Not every local leader is a pastor. Not every local leader or elder is gifted to pastor the church or has received the gift of pastor. Just because a man's a leader doesn't make him a pastor. You see, you can be in a leadership position, but God hasn't supernaturally given a gifted ministry of the shepherd. Only some are shepherds. And if you narrow it down that every leader is a shepherd, you're neglecting the other ministries of teaching and prophets. Well, we don't have any place for a prophet in the local church. Because all we know is pastors. That's all we understand. And there's three realms that every leader... This is very important that you learn this morning. There's three things that our leader are put in the body for. And you must understand this if you're going to function in this church. Number one, every elder is put in the church for the leading of the flock. The sheep don't lead the flock. Everybody doesn't lead the flock. We don't lead by voting. What do we all think? Let's vote on it. That is not leadership. That might be democracy, but that is not leadership. The first reason God gives leaders or shepherds into the body is for the leading of the flock. This is a term applied to the New Testament eldership, is the word rule. All elders rule in the local church, and it's the word rule. It means prostomini. And this is what it means. It means to stand before, to preside, to maintain the rule, to be over. I'm not having anybody over me. Well, then you don't know your Bible. Back to grade one. Back to P1. Because you haven't learned the elementaries yet. Well, you're an exception then from the rest of us. But the Bible says that God has put elders in the church to rule over the church. Not everybody rules. Not everybody leads. And that's what this word rule means. It means to maintain the rule, to oversee, to guard, to direct things, to lead things. Another Greek word translated in the New Testament rule is the word hegemonai, which means to lead or take the command. Not everybody's going to take the lead of this church. God help us, I'd hate to see where some of you would lead us. And it's not because you're not good. It's not that you don't love Jesus Christ. It's not that you're dedicated to him. It's just you don't know how to lead and you'd lead us wrong. You see, leadership is a gift from God. It's a calling from God. Not everybody can lead. You've got to be trained in the sheepfold like Moses and David. You cannot lead. Not everybody can drive. Do you know what it'd be like saying, well, sure, everybody has a right to drive. Forget the laws. Forget the principles of the land. Here, Jimmy Jones. Oh, you've never driven before, but you want to and you have faith to. Well, just you get behind the steering wheel and Garrett's going to give you his keys to his nice car and you just motor on. In fact, let's get the whole family into the car and you just stick the welly down and we're going to trust you. Would you do that? You would not do that. I tell you, I watched Candace before I married her. And when she's a good driver, I watched her in the mirror of my car. I watched how she drove along that road before I married her. You know why? Because I'm going to sit in that passenger seat many times. And I'm going to be dozing off. And she's going to be sitting there behind that steering wheel. And I want to know I can trust her with my life. I tell you, it's wisdom. If I couldn't trust her behind the wheel, she ain't driving. And you know, some of you, if you scare me enough, I'll never get in a car with you ever again. I'll choose the man who drives the car. I'll be very careful who I let behind that wheel and who I entrust myself with. Not everybody is equipped to lead. Some of you would take us over the hedge. Some of you would take us through the middle of a forest in the car. God help us. We've got to be careful who is leading the church of Christ. A leader must know. You see, he's carrying the full responsibility of leadership. That's a burden. That's a real thing. You know, in Ukraine, we heard there, I mean, it's not many years they've come out from communism. And we heard about, if you were going to be a pastor, an elder, a shepherd, and preach in the church of God, you're guaranteed, was it, 7 years in prison. Guaranteed. I tell you, it's hard to get leadership then. You have to beg men to be in leadership. It was a burden, it was a price, and that's how it was in the early church. I tell you, it wasn't easy to become a leader. It could cost your life, it could cost you everything. But can I tell you, true shepherds, it will cost them everything. Absolutely everything. God, it'll cost you everything. And a whole lot more, and it's well we didn't tell you before all of this kicked off. Because it'll cost more than even we're willing to pay. Both of these words show the primary importance of eldership taking up a responsibility as leaders of the flock. That's it. It's a position of leadership where they're going to have to lead that church into the will of God. They're going to have to lead individuals into God's plan for their life. I tell you, that's a grave responsibility. And this is one of the three main callings on all elders over the church. They've got to direct things right. God help us. We can't go any direction. We've got to follow Christ, and as we follow Christ, for the sheep to follow us. You see, the sheep always follow the shepherd. You can't drive them. Western shepherds who get the dogs in, get the Land Rover in. Let's drive the sheep into the field. Well, that's Western thought, but the Eastern shepherd, he walked in front, and he just spoke, and the sheep followed. You can't force them. You've got to lead them. You see, you've got to be an example to lead. You have to be the living embodiment of what that book says. You can't preach one thing and live another thing. You can't preach nice flowery sermons and yet contradict it with all the convictions of your life. You've got to be able to say, I believe these things. I'd die for these truths. Please follow me. And you see, as the shepherd walks, the sheep follow him. See, he's gained their trust and they want to follow him. You're saying, he's going in the right direction. I am fully persuaded that he's following Christ. He is following the great shepherd. He's a shepherd, but he's following the great shepherd. I don't trust following a man. I would never follow a man. But if that man is following after Christ, I'll follow him. Follow me as I follow Christ. You see a shepherd not following Christ, don't you follow him. You're not under any obligation to follow him. None whatsoever. But if he's following the master, you would be wise to follow him. Then Hebrews 13, this word rule, is used three times for the eldership. In verse 7 it says, remember them that have the rule over you. It's good to remember them, isn't it? Bring them into your mind. Think about them. Pray for them. Then in verse 7 it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That's a thing of choice. Then in verse 24 it says, salute them that have the rule over you. Now this verse 7 is very important. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourself. Now that word obey, what does it mean? Obey. No, it doesn't. Obey doesn't mean obey. There's a very important scripture here. Okay. Obey them who have the rule over you. It's Hebrews 13. Back in Hebrews 6 it says, For I am persuaded, that's the word, better things of you. Okay? So this word obey, obey them who have the rule over you. Be persuaded by them who have the rule over you. Be convinced by them. Do you know what that means? A shepherd has to convince you by the word of God. You don't blindly submit. It says obey them that have the rule over you. They are persuading you by the word of God. I'm ruling over you. I have a position of leadership, but I'm going to persuade you that this is a good way to go. I'm going to persuade you that social drinking is a sin and is wrong and is condemned in that book. Give me a little bit of time. I'll extinguish every doubt in your mind. I promise you, saints. I'm filled with this thing at the minute. But I can answer any of your doubts or questions. You know what? I can't demand of you, stop your social drinking. But I can persuade you and say, I will show you by the written word of God. Not my opinion. It's the mind of God. And I'll be able to convince you by that. So follow my example, because I am going in that direction. But it doesn't just stop there. It says, obey them or be persuaded by them who have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Well, maybe submit doesn't mean submit. No, sorry, submit means submit. It does mean simply submit. Everybody has to submit in some realm of life. The children have to submit. You get in somebody's car, you're submitting to a driver. You're entrusting them with the realm of life and you're yielding to it. But it doesn't stop there. It says, for they watch for your souls. Why do you want to submit to certain men in the church? Why would you? Because they're watching for your soul. They care about your spiritual good. They care about your moral good. They care about your physical good. They care about your whole life. It's not a personal thing. They care about these things because God has entrusted them with it. They're watching for your soul. There's two men in this church watching for your soul. Now I know we all are watching for one another, but there is a calling in this church, a heavy burden. We've got to get you to heaven. We've got to get you into the will of God. And God help us, we'll try our best. We can't do the impossible. But if you're going to go to hell, you'll go over us. You'll have to stand over us. You'll have to maneuver around our words. But we're not going to easily let you go to hell. We're not going to easily let you die in your sins. We'll come looking for you. We're going to pursue after you. We're going to pray in the prayer meetings. We're not letting the wolf carry you off. I tell you, we'll come running after you by God's grace. So we see the first thing is leading the sheep. Secondly, feeding the sheep. Have you got that? Leading the sheep. Secondly, feeding the sheep. All New Testament elders were required to be able to teach. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, and again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 4, it says they must be apt to teach. Amid 13 qualifications of an elder or a bishop, not a man with a big hat. Who is he? He's a shepherd. That's who a bishop is. 13 qualifications to qualify a man for eldership. 12 of them are character. One of them is the ability to teach. So where's the emphasis? It's on a character. It's on a man that's learned the principles of God in the church of God, in the flock. It also says in 1 Timothy 5, the elders who labor in the word and doctrine. And again, 1 Peter 5, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you. So here's the emphasis. Eldership are there to feed you. Not only to lead you in the right way, but to feed you, to preach to you, to teach to you, to make you to learn the things of God. That is the second most vital responsibility of leadership. And you must learn this. You must know there's only three reasons why we're here. The second one is that we might teach you. Teaching isn't a light thing. If you become a hearer and not a doer, you're neglecting vital ministry in this church. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. Why? To feed the sheep. Sheep die if they're not fed. Sheep get very bland. Do you know, opposite our house out there, Drumkeen, maybe shouldn't say Drumkeen, but we're out there, and one of our good neighbors come, informed us, said, see about this time of year, what was it, October? Says, see those cattle out there? They don't get fed right. Look at them, they're gaunt, they're thin, they're not fed, that fence isn't fixed. They don't care about them. The owner doesn't care about that cattle. And he says, you know what, those cows are going to look over at your lawn and see that lovely green lush grass, and they're going to come looking for it. He says, I'd advise you always to keep that gate closed. Well, not 2 weeks after that, we're walking up the road, and you can see where they're trampled over that fenceway, or where they've broken it all down. All their hoofs are out onto the road. They broke out at two different places. And that's what, every time we used to look out the window, all the cows are there looking across at our nice green grass. That's a warning. You know why? Their owner does not care about them. It's the same with sheep. You ever see sheep? They're gaunt. They're thin. They're shaggy. They're sick. They're all there scattered. I tell you, that is not a good shepherd. It's a reflection upon the shepherd when sheep aren't taught, when they don't know it's all about Christ, when they begin to think it's all about the games of religion. It's the shepherd's fault. It's his fault. He hasn't fed the sheep. You see, if sheep are well fed, they become content. If they're well fed and if they really eat, they're going to be satisfied. Now I know there's always a few rebels amongst them. They'll always wander off, never satisfied. Well, maybe it's greener over here. Maybe I'll get a nice little sermon over here. Yeah, you keep going, a big wolf will grab you. and have you for dinner. You see, if you don't eat right, you will be eaten. I promise you now. I promise you. If you don't eat right, you will be eaten up. You'll be gobbled down as quick as anything. The Greek word used here for feed, when the elders are commanded, feed the flock of God, feed the sheep. This Greek word for feed is ponamio, meaning to tend as a shepherd. Not only to feed them, but to care for the flock. To care for them in a very real and precious way. That teaching, preaching, feeding also includes admonishing. Oh. Warning. You can't preach Christ if you don't warn. See, if a preacher all he does is preach a nice message without warning you, he is not preaching Jesus Christ. He's not. He's preaching half a Christ, part of a Christ. Also comfort and support. Thirdly, protecting the sheep. This is the third great element of shepherds or of eldership, is leading the flock, feeding the flock, and then protecting the flock. Paul warned about grievous wolves, didn't he? And where we read in Acts 20, he says, I warn you. I warned you for 3 years. See, as I'm changing the church, people don't listen. They sit there and go, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, amen. That was good. Come out. Wasn't that interesting? Little do they realize that shepherds know what it is. They have seen wolves come into a flock and destroy whole flocks. Saints, I have seen it. I have seen men rise up in the church. They have destroyed the church of God. They have split great churches down the middle. They've scattered the sheep. People have backslidden, fallen into sin, fallen into drink and temptation. I have seen it. That's why we warn with tears. I know we may not cry outwardly, but I tell you, there's tears in the heart. When you've seen what wolves have done to the church, you don't take that lightly. I warn you, there are real wolves. There are those that would come to destroy. There are those with hidden motives that you would never imagine. You single girls, they would marry you and abuse you, lie to you. They're demons dressed up as Christians. I warn you, saints of God, not every preacher that comes down that road has true motives. Many of them have wrong motives. Many of them are deceptive. Many of them are wolves in sheep's clothing. They literally dress themselves. Isn't that what Christ said? He says, I warn you that they are wolves in sheep clothing. He says, beware of false prophets. Now, what does a false prophet look like? What does he look like? Do you know what it says in Revelation? It says, here comes one and he's like a lamb. He looks like a lamb. He acts like a lamb. He seems like a lamb. But when he opens his mouth, it says, the voice of the dragon comes out, speaking about Antichrist and the false prophet. Here's the false prophet of the last days. He's going to look like a sheep. He's going to look like a Christian. And he comes with the appearance of a Christian. But as soon as he opens his mouth, you can say, that's not the true gospel. That's not true. He looks right, but he's not. He is a false prophet in sheep's clothing. But inwardly is a ravenous wolf. Inwardly is literally one to devour you. But outwardly you're standing there thinking everything is okay. Saints, wake up. Wake up, we're dealing with eternity. And the enemy would send a wolf against you to deceive you, entice you. He'll send a girlfriend, send a boyfriend. He'll send somebody. He'll send your best friend. He'll send a Christian to lure you into sin. That's what happens. That's what we've got to protect against. Do you know that's our responsibility? We have a responsibility given by God to warn you of the wolves, to protect this church from every wolf. God has entrusted us with that. And if we're not faithful, God will hold us accountable. I tell you, we can't just give out vague warnings or preach something nice. It comes out of years of watching the body of Christ, years of experience, years of being careful, years of waiting before God. Do you know what? I've been deceived before. Have you been deceived before? I've been deceived before. I went and listened to preachers should never have been there. I've got into little house meetings and little meetings with people laying hands on me. I should never have allowed it. Never. And you know, that gives you a big heart, a large heart. Of course, you can do what you want. Because you know what? We're following Christ. You don't need to follow. Not one of us here needs to follow. But if you're wise, you would follow. If you're very wise, because God has given us not calling. Such wolves would come even disguised as sheep, as true believers or as ministers of the gospel. They may even come disguised in the garb of the gifted ministry of prophet. They'll tell you your house number. They'll tell you what you had for breakfast this morning. They'll tell you a visit in heaven. They'll tell you about miracles and revelations of miracles of healing. They've seen blind eyes open. They've seen the deaf speak. They've seen the lepers healed. They've seen men get up and be healed. I tell you, there are wolves coming to devour you. I have seen it. I have beheld it. It's a reality, church. Deception isn't easily seen. It catches you, and you'll get led a long way. You need to hear of Christ. You need shepherds that speak about the blood. You need shepherds that warn you of unrighteousness. You need shepherds who so love you, they would do anything for you without crossing the line of sin. I tell you, are ignoring your own personal convictions. You know, one thing bothers me in the church is when a man or something happens that's outside the will of God, either that person or others will come and try and convince me that that's okay. It happens. First thing you want to justify is justify what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're believing, what you're reading. You want to justify that. Do you know what? I'm not going there. But do you know why? Because I care about you. If I compromise, I'm easing your conscience and it's okay. Just you carry on. But I love you too much for that. And do you know what? You don't like it. Or go, here we go again. You want me to come over and give credence and say, yeah, keep going. You're fine. No, you're not fine. You're not fine. And you know in here, you know the things you've heard repeatedly. And do you know what? We don't love you any less. Do you know, if you never adhered to anything, that would not lessen the love of God. Not true love. Not the love of Christ. But do you know what it does? You go, I tell you, if only they had wisdom. If only they had wisdom. You know? So it doesn't lessen the love, but does intensify the care and the deep concern. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, this is Christ, when he ascended up to the right hand of the Father, it says that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the church. In other words, to build the church up. The pastor is one amongst five. He's not the only one. He's not the head of all. He's not the all-encompassing ministry. He's one ministry. You've got to understand, a pastor cannot fulfill every ministry. He is a pastor, and he's good at what he does, but you cannot expect him to be anything else. A pastor cannot put the burden on himself to be all things to all men. He is gifted and called in a certain way to feed the flock, protect the flock, and to lead the flock, but he cannot be all things. He is not a prophet unless God gifts him so. He is not a teacher in the way Scripture talks about it. But he must do what God has called him to do. Now here in Ephesians 4 it says Christ, remember he's the great shepherd, isn't he? He is the great shepherd. He has given the ministry of shepherd into the church. He is the great shepherd. But here he is, gives a ministry to certain men, not all men. Not all men in ministry have this. But certain men are given the gift of pastor. What's pastor mean? It's a Latin word meaning shepherd. It's a bad word to be used. Everywhere else in the New Testament, this word pastor is used, or this word poimen is used 17 different times. It's translated shepherd. This is the only place it's translated pastor in the whole New Testament. It should be shepherd. So there's a gifted ministry given into the church called the shepherd. It's supernaturally given. It's from Christ. It's a part of his ministry. Given to a human vessel, not every vessel has it, is given to a human vessel to function as a shepherd in that church. He has been given it. I believe that with all my heart, that Christ has given it. Now I know every shepherd isn't the same. They don't all look the same. They don't all act the same. But God grants that ministry of shepherd. It's not a title. It's not a position. It's a ministry. It's a gifted ministry. It says, you know, when you receive a prophet as a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Well, I tell you, it's the same for a pastor or a shepherd. If you don't acknowledge that God has given a shepherd into the church, you're going to miss out things. You won't listen to what is said. You won't take it seriously. You'll say, that's your opinion. Now you've got the right to do that. Because he's got to persuade you. Doesn't he? What a burden, huh? Persuade you bunch. Now he's got to, and there's a safeguard there. He can't demand. He can't force. He can't drive. But he can persuade you. He can follow Christ in such a way as say, come, I'll show you a good way to walk. And then choice is yours. He has fulfilled his obligation. Now it's going to be you. Will you fulfill your obligation? Such a serious thing. In 1 Peter 5, Peter says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder. What was Peter? He was an elder, wasn't he? Oh, but he was an apostle. He was also an elder. When he was in the local church, he functioned in local eldership position with these three responsibilities. He had to feed the local flock. He had to teach the local flock, lead them and guard them. That was his responsibility. And he says in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. 1 Peter 5 and 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. So if you're going to feed the church, you do have a responsibility of overseeing the work of God. To feed the flock is a position of oversight. Verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage. You can't abuse the sheep. You can't force them. You must lead them. You must draw them with the substance of God. Preach Christ and the sheep are satisfied. Preach the cross and the sheep will come. Oh yes, there'll always be some that go off, but they'll learn to their detriment. They will see in the years to come, you weren't a false prophet, but you preached faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see time and time again this principle. Now we're told in Genesis 46:34, and it says, every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. In the Bible, the Egyptians, or Egypt, is a type of the world. This world system. And in this verse it says, the Egyptians thought shepherds were an abomination. They were disgusting. They were an abhorrence. They were unclean. That's what this world thinks about the little shepherd and his sheepfold. That's what they think about this love that says, I would lay down my life for the sheep. They don't understand. They say it's a vile thing, a disgusting thing. And yet God highly honors the gift of a pastor or a shepherd. God has given it. It's given by Christ to you and to us. Now listen, in Jeremiah 3 verse 15, it says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Again in Jeremiah 23 and 4, I will set up shepherds over them. Shepherds over them. Have we got that? Do we understand these tenses and these, you know, it's very simple. I will set up shepherds over them that will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they lack anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why does God give shepherds? To meet the needs in the flock, to deal with life, to help you through. Who's been helped here by someone in leadership at any point in your life? I'm glad we almost got 90% hands up. Do you know what? That is a very practical thing. God's ordained it that way. It's not a burden on leadership or anything else. It's practical. Sheep get in trouble, don't they? Sheep get caught in hedges. Sheep get turned upside down on their back and then they turned over. It is a practical thing. So God puts shepherds into the body. In Jeremiah 23:1 it says, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people and have not visited them. So we know the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Amos, many of the prophets, they rose up. Who did they blame? The sheep? When the church went wrong, when God's people went wrong, did all the prophets rise up and start cutting into the sheep and rebuking them and correcting them? No, it did not happen. Do you know what Ezekiel did? He looked at the shepherd. If this church goes wrong, it's his fault. Is that simple enough? Is that okay? That's biblical. And my fault. If this church goes wrong, I tell you, do you know what God's going to do? Come knocking on his door. Come knocking on my door and say, yous are to blame. Is that okay? Does that feel just and right? Doesn't make it any easier for you, though. But I tell you, there's a heavy burden in this. The prophets rose up and began to point the finger at the shepherds and say, if these sheep aren't cared for, it's your fault. If you don't tell them the truth, it's your fault. If you don't guard them from the wolves, it's your fault. That's why it's such a serious thing, ministry. It says in Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. In other words, you can't neglect them. You've got to know every sheep. You've got to know what's going on in their life. You must know what their temptations are. There's a responsibility. And if a shepherd neglects the sheepfold, he will be held eternally responsible. It says in Zechariah 11:17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. That means relinquishes his responsibility. That is not my responsibility. Oh yes it is. God will hold every shepherd accountable. In Isaiah 56:11, it says shepherds that cannot understand. The next verse says that the shepherds say, come, let's drink wine and strong drink. Strong drink is always condemned in the Bible. Strong drink is always utterly condemned. Yet here's shepherds in ancient Israel during Jeremiah's ministry who say, come, let's go have a glass of beer. Let's go have a glass of wine. Nothing wrong with social drinking. Sorry that I keep on social drinking. It's just in me at the moment. Give me 2 years, it'll be out of my system, okay? And all of you should be convinced by then. Maybe. Jeremiah 10:21, it speaks about pastors who have become brutish, like animals, ignorant. So there's many warnings about the shepherds, many serious. It warns about foolish shepherds. So men can be in ministry. And saints, we have this all across our nation. Men who are in ministry, men who are in the pulpits, and they will lead the church wrong. They scatter the flock. They do not guard from wolves. They are not being good shepherds. And you know what? God's condemnation is upon them. That's why him and me, we labor hard to be right before God. Do you know why? Because we'll be held accountable for our trust. It doesn't matter whether it's a big church or a small church. God will hold every shepherd accountable. Now listen, just give me another 5 minutes here. Will you? Just 5 more minutes. And I want you to hear something of the shepherds. And in Ezekiel 34, a very important chapter concerning shepherding, we read Ezekiel rising up and he begins to speak against the shepherds of his day. So think about it. In Ezekiel's day and Jeremiah's day, all the shepherds of Israel had gone off track. We don't read of them generally following God. We read of all the leadership, the eldership, the shepherds who are leading people, feeding them, and meant to be guarding them. They're generally, the whole thing is off. You couldn't find shepherds who are truly feeding the sheep or leading them correctly. Now you might say, well, that was then. No, it's now in our generation. Hard to find a shepherd that warns against sin. Hard to find a shepherd that just wants to preach the blood all the time. Hard to find a shepherd that'll look at the Catholic Church and say it's a false religious system. And any shepherd who says otherwise is a false shepherd. They're not doing their job. Because these systems will destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. But Ezekiel gives us many pointers and understand the message of a pastor, a shepherd. In verse 2 of Ezekiel 34, he begins to say that the shepherds have fed themselves instead of feeding the sheep. So we see there the responsibility of the shepherd. A true shepherd feeds the flock, preaches Christ, preaches the word, preaches the blood, preaches holiness, preaches reality. A false shepherd, we want to see true and false shepherds. A false shepherd will not preach the word of God. They do not preach the cross. They do not preach against sin. So here it's two shepherds, the real and the false. One feeds the sheep. One doesn't feed the sheep. One tells them what God wants them to hear. The other one tells them what they want to hear. That is very different. In verse 3 it says that in the midst of this, that they eat the fat, they clothe themselves with wool, and they kill those that are meant to be fed. Here they are, shepherds who are literally killing the flock. They are taken from the flock, but they're not given to them. So it's all about them, the shepherd, the man in the pulpit. He's not pouring his life out for the sheep, but the sheep are literally dying for him. That's back to front church. It's meant to be the shepherds who die for the flock, who take the flock, who'll protect you. But here's shepherds that Ezekiel's talking about, and they're making money out of them. They say, this is all about you looking after me. And there are churches in this city. There are churches in our nation. And you know what? The man of God in the pulpit, he is so high, so great, so mighty, you'll never get to shake his hand. That happens in church movements. They have bodyguards. Some of the good ones have bodyguards. Brother Clendenin never had. Someone had to protect the devil against him. But this is what we see. Then in verse 4, it says, the diseased have you not strengthened. I'm talking about his task. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. It's talking about the sicknesses and illnesses. This is talking about a shepherd in Israel. They couldn't work miracles. They didn't do wonders. They had a little bottle of oil. They watched out for that sheep. They cared for it. He's not asked to do the impossible. But you can care for the sheep and mend their sicknesses and to recover them fully back when they get ill. Do you know our ministry here? It's trying to recover some of us. Get yous back into a walk with God. That's how you know a true shepherd. He didn't say, oh, God understands. God understands the sickness of your sin. Well, I know everybody else can manage, but not you. You're different than the rest of us. No, we're all born of Adam. We all have a sinful nature. But I tell you, true ministry says, we want to restore you. We're not going to lose you. We're not putting you out. I tell you, we want to restore you. We want to see you built up. We want to see you healed. We want to pour in the oil. We want to pray for you. He says, neither have ye bound up that which is broken. Someone breaks their leg. And that shepherd should have bound it up. Every break in this room, him and me, we've got a responsibility to mend that broken leg. You could be going along limping. God help us if we turn a blind eye and say, that's between you and God. We want to help your broken limb and fix it. It says, neither have you brought again that which is driven away. That's not just wandering away. Notice that. That's driven. Something happens in the church to drive somebody out. Do you know a shepherd's got a responsibility? He can't say, well, they'll come back when they want to. No, there is an issue that's driven someone out. And it happens in this church. Someone gets driven out because of an issue. He's got a responsibility to go after them. Well, the Lord will bring them back. Well, sure, that's between. We'll pray for them. No, go bring them back. They've been driven away because of an issue. But notice next, it says, neither have ye sought that which is lost. And that's different. That's someone just wandering off through their own foolishness. That's different than being driven out because of an issue here that needs resolved. This is somebody who just wanders off. Go find them. Go rescue them. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. See, that's a false church. That's where things aren't dealt with. Is where somebody is ruling. Even a soft character can rule with hardness where the sheep are scattered. Verse 5, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Do you know why there's a shepherd here? To keep the sheep. The gifted ministry of a shepherd is to gather the sheep. You'll get scattered, you bunch. I tell you, you wouldn't sit in a grate. But let a true gifted ministry of shepherd, he's going to keep you here every week. He's going to be phoning you up. There's going to be a gathering. There's something about the true gifted ministry of a shepherd where people gather around it, either small groups or big groups. But he becomes a gathering place, not because of him, but because of the ministry from Christ that Christ gives him. So there is a gathering. It's to stop a scattering of the flock. Sheep scatter if they don't have a shepherd. You show me someone who doesn't submit themselves to a true shepherd or a true elder, and I'll show you someone who's just going doing their own thing. They become meat to all the beasts of the field. When they are scattered, you're going to get devoured. Verse 6, they wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Notice this is when sheep are scattered. What do? Look, verse 6. Wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when sheep get scattered? Oh, I'm still a sheep. Oh, I still love the Lord. I'll go wandering on the hilltops. I want to live a mountaintop experience. I'll go to all the conventions. I want a blessing. I want somebody to prophesy over me. I want somebody to lay hands on me. So what they do is they start on a whole... There's a sheep that without a shepherd who's got scattered, and they start on a whole life's trail from hilltop to hilltop, convention to convention, bless me times to bless me times. No establishment, No shepherd to say, that's wrong. No shepherd to correct them. But here they are, they're saying, I just want bless me conventions. I want to live on the heights. I just want to live in a place of blessing. I want God to use me. I want a prophecy. I want somebody to minister to me and say, brother, God's got a ministry for you. I'm serious, it's destroyed lives. Watch all through the years. All this, God wants to use you. 99% rubbish, never came from God. God's got a great call in your life. God's going to use you to do this. Most of it is trash. Whereas you've got shepherds here who'll say, walk with God and he'll use you. Walk with him. Feed on the word of God. Prepare yourself. At a mountaintop, sheep are nothing but a problem. It says, yea, my flock were scattered upon all the face of the earth. Now they think they've got an international ministry. They go on a plane, they jump, they go there, come back. No authority, no submission, never learnt lessons in the sheepfold, and all they are is carnal. But they're traveling round in ministry. I tell you, this is the tragedy that this generation of the church has birthed, because there's no true shepherds to say, stop it! It's wrong! And it's left to a shepherd to go and tell them that. Because you know what? The false shepherds won't. The false shepherds say, God's going to use you greatly. Load of waffle. Load of absolute waffle. Could say much more. Stand this morning.